You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who's had a paper route for 25 years but never collected, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back, folks, to Act 2 of tonight's edition of Nightlight, a Tuesday night version. It is a beautiful, balmy day in Wisconsin, a gorgeous day here for, especially when you consider it's late December, gorgeous weather today. And you must have been happy, Conrad. You don't like the cold, but you still choose to live in Wisconsin.
So I remember last week when I said I woke up sweating, and it was because my apartment was at 85. And I kind of thought about it. I was like, wait, I don't have my heat on, but I do have someone who's a little older, you know, and who's below me in my apartment building.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing he has the heat cranked. And what does he do? It rises.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I had my heat off for 2 days, okay? This morning it was at 82.
And your heat was off?
Completely off.
Boy, you could save buku bucks. Just getting the old coot below to turn his heat up like that. That's
so
fantastic.
Yeah, it was a nice day, and I opened up my windows a little bit. I was like, I need to get, please escape heat. I need this heat to escape.
That's fantastic. Are you done with your Christmas shopping?
I actually finished it today. Yes.
Yeah, same.
You know, I got some gifts, and I was like, well, I could maybe get a few more. So I went to Dick's, and they have some nice deals going on there.
Yeah?
So I went there, and I actually shopped in person, which is weird.
Yeah. Who knew? That's pretty cool. So I finished mine today, too, and I'm notorious for giving print-ups. Like, I save everything to the last minute, and then I realize the shipping can't get there, so I'll print up a picture of what I got you and say it's on the way. And I thought I've done that, like, twice over the years, but apparently I'm that guy. Like, my kids are go, what, do you need ink in the printer, Dad, for your gifts for us? Little brats. So that's what I, that's my thing. But, hey, welcome to Nightlight, folks. If you missed the first hour, it was a lot of fun, and you can catch it at civicmedia.us, where all the shows are cataloged as podcasts. We had 7,000 apart in the studio, John and Amelie. They're so much fun every time they're on the show. Very talented music duo who split time between here in Green Bay, where they met in high school, and in Stockholm, Sweden. You good? Conrad's getting the bell. Okay. I thought he took a powder. He just kind of disappeared there. And then we talked about a really cool story I read about Bill Murray, who I think has life figured out, and it's so much fun to read Bill Murray stories. If you just go to the Google and type in Bill Murray stories, they come up in abundance. But this in particular was a really fun one. So it's all in the first hour. Oh, I also talked about how I brushed my teeth with a hair in my toothbrush because I was in-
Yes. You know, you could have just taken it off.
But what do you do when you find a hair? Like, let's say you order a pizza and there's a hair in it and you're starving.
You know, I'm not going to eat that slice.
But you're going to still go back in.
I'll go around. Maybe I'll eat up to the hair.
Like, if you're...
I'm just kidding.
If you're starving, though, like, I've done that. Like, where if I get a burger from a fast food place and there's a hair in it, I'm not eating any part of the burger. But I will eat something else. Because I feel like even if you eat the burger with the hair in it, it's probably not a very sanitary person who's made your food to begin with. There's probably a sneeze in there, whatever. Maybe he flossed with the lettuce and threw it on there. I don't know. But I don't do that. But on a pizza, I would probably go around.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I worked in a pizza place before, and I've heard people complain that there was, maybe not from my making, but other people making the pizza. Like, yeah, we found a hair in it. Can you please remake it?
And did you?
The customer's always right, you know?
Yeah, but were you mad? Did you pull out more hair and put it in there?
I was like, it's not me, so I'm not going to yell that. I'll just remake this pizza. And
so, okay.
It doesn't take that long to make one.
There's an establishment in Marinette, Wisconsin that I went to once and found a very tiny, gross hair. And It's the kind you would think came from a part of the body that should be nowhere near a breakfast burrito. However, I worked around it, whatever. I was like, this is horrible. I hope that's from a chest as opposed to below the equator.
Okay, I think that's still bad as a chest.
It's horrible. I don't want any whatever. But then I forgot, or someone suggested we go back to the same place. It's like a year later, and I found what might have been the same hair somehow. It looked, and I was like, oh my God, I totally forgot I was here a year ago, found a hair in my food, and here I am like an idiot back here at this place again. And I have not, it's been 3 years. I will never go back there.
Yeah, that's you know, that's a Pete Band place.
It's Pete Band. I think we got a new list we're starting there. So fun hour number one. Let's refresh everybody's memory though, Conrad. Here's the nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your favorite pre-Christmas activity? I should say pre-holiday activity, because different people celebrate different things, whether it's Kwanzaa, Festivus, Hanukkah, whatever it is, folks. Let us know what your favorite pre-holiday, because the buildup is the fun part. I said putting up a tree, lights, except outside lights. I don't enjoy putting them up, but I do. And just having music on until I get sick of it, which I am. And what about you, Con? What did you say again?
You know, I said getting a nice cup of Joe and watching a film. But I did add that, you know, just buying gifts for someone.
Yeah.
Seeing how they enjoy it after they open it.
Absolutely. I am very excited. I got my wife a gift today, and I think she's going to like it. And it is more fun to give than to receive, especially as you get older. You get sucky gifts anyway. It's not like you're going to get a new bike or a video games.
There's nothing that feeling when you were a kid and you got that toy. Yeah,
right.
There's nothing better than that.
Or you saw that present wrapped and you're like, that could be Atari or whatever, you know, a Sony PlayStation. And it's not. It's a box with a bad sweater. But anyway, so there you go, folks. Let us know. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text the show on the app. The Civic Media app is very easy to use and very downloadable. It is calling your name. And if you're watching the radio on X, Facebook, or YouTube, drop us a stream comment and leave us a like or a follow if you would, please. So I think we need to get to this quiz, Con.
Yeah.
Time is of the essence.
Well, it's a short quiz. You know, it's just scenes from classic Christmas movies, and you just have to guess it.
I have to guess the movie. Okay, like I said, I should be more versed in Christmas movies, but I'm willing to put myself out there.
I think you'll get this.
Okay.
You ready for number one?
I'm ready for number one. You got the bell?
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
Here we go.
All right.
What is it?
I can't put my arms down.
A Christmas Story. And you know what it was? I didn't recognize the lines. I've only seen that once, but it was the music. Music that was the giveaway. Well done, Schwabba.
Yeah, there
All right.
go.
One for one.
Your brother Harry Bailey broke through the ice and was drowned at the age of 9.
That's a lie. Harry Bailey went to war. He got the Congressional Medal.
Jimmy's awesome. I love that movie.
All right, here we go.
Ah, but you should not use your Kringle name. It's dangerous.
Not call myself Kringle? What other name would suit me?
There is one. You were wearing this when we found you as a baby. See what it says?
Claus.
It has to be Santa Claus is Coming to Town, right? I knew it was of that era. I couldn't remember. Okay. Wow, I'm crushing.
Isn't it beaut, Audrey?
She'll see it later, honey. Her eyes are frozen.
Yes. Christmas vacay, baby.
I love that scene. With her eyes.
Her eyes are frozen. I like when he says, some of the little lights are not twinkling, Clark. He's like, I know, Al. Thanks for noticing.
Santa.
Elf. See, I know Will Ferrell's voice. Because I've only seen Elf once, too.
It's me, buddy.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
The fake sounds like, yeah, hey buddy.
I love how you keep playing the clip after I guessed it because you like the movie so much.
All right, here we go.
I'm 5 for 5, right?
Yes, 5 for 5.
Many Christmases ago, I went to buy a doll for my son. I reached for the last one they had.
but so did another man. As I rained blows upon him, I realized there had to be another way.
What happened to the doll?
It was destroyed.
Seinfeld. What? That was a season 9 episode, right?
Yeah.
We have a great clip. We'll play that in the third hour of Savannah Tommy Wilson's thing. Okay, so I'm 6 for 6.
I'll tell you, Max, I don't know why I ever leave this place. I've got all the company I need right here. Hello! Hello! How are you? How are you? How are you? I asked you first.
Grinch?
I asked you first.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
that was
really mature.
See, I'd feel good about myself, but I think the last quiz you gave me, I did so poorly on. You're treating me like I'm a congenital idiot right now with some of these. But some of them I had to piece together.
Yeah.
So, all right, I'm doing okay.
Who is it?
It's Little Nero, sir. I have your pizza.
Leave it on that doorstep and get the
hell
out
of here.
Okay. Well, what about the money?
I just want to hear this.
What money?
Well, you have to pay for your pizza, sir.
Is that a fact? How much do I owe you?
That'll be $11.80, sir.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Cheapskate.
Hey, I'm going to give you to the count of 10 to get your
Home
ugly, yellow, no good keister off my property before I pump your guts full of lead. 1, 2, 10.
That wasn't very fair. Love. Am I 8 for 8?
Yeah.
This
yeah,
is insanity. Eight. Okay.
That necklace there, how much is it?
It's £270.
Die
hard. I'll have it.
Christmas Lovely. Movie or not a Christmas movie?
It's a Christmas like movie. It? It's not Die Hard, though.
Gift wrapped.
Yes, all right.
Let me just pop it in the box.
Home Alone 2?
Look, could we be quite quick?
Certainly, sir. Ready in the flashiest of flashes.
That necklace there, how much is it?
It's £270.
It's Alan Rickman, right?
All right, I'll have it.
Lovely.
Love Actually.
Would you like it?
Is that what it was? Yes!
Gift wrap.
Got it.
I should get like a half a point for that.
It took you a second.
That was pretty, that was like a little curveball there because it was Alan Rickman, yeah. But he's not Hans Gruber. Is it Gruber?
I've only seen. All right, here's the next one.
Please, are there any passengers in need of refreshment? I thought so.
On the Polar Express.
Ooh, we got it.
That was a fun scene.
Yes, you got
so
it.
So am I 9 of 10?
9.5. 9.5. All right, all right. Okay. Here's another one. This one's a short one. See all if right. you get it.
Honey, I'm home.
Wait, what? Do that again.
Honey, I'm home.
Is that Bobcat Goldthwait?
Sorry, what'd you say?
Is that Bobcat Goldthwait?
I don't know. Maybe the actor. I don't know the actor, but.
I don't know what that is.
It's a famous Scrooge version.
Scrooged? Oh, it's from Scrooge?
Yeah.
I bet that is Bobcat Goldthwait.
All right.
Okay.
Last one.
All right.
You're as healthy as a horse.
Yeah. Clydesdale.
Okay, look, so what? You put on a little weight. A little weight? Does this look like
that's
a little weight to you?
Weight can fluctuate from year to year.
I've never even done as that good on a test in high school or college as I just did on that test.
What'd you get? 10.5 out of 12?
10.5 out of 12. I'll take that. All right. We are coming right back, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, we're going to tell you all about cruises in Lake Geneva with Ellen Burling. She will be here from Lake Geneva Cruises, and it's a pre-recorded interview. She's going to tell us all about their really cool Santa cruises. And then Ben Reiser at 6:35. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
The holidays are upon us, however you celebrate these holidays. Have fun and be safe. It is so fun to be in Wisconsin. This is the Christmas state, no matter where you live in our fantastic state. We are broadcasting live from downtown Green Bay, statewide. So our reach is big, and it goes all the way down to Lake Geneva, if you can believe that. And that is where our next guest joins us from. She is the general manager of Lake Geneva Cruise Lines, Miss Ellen Burling. Hi, Ellen.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. How are things in Lake Geneva?
They're great. We are about halfway through our Santa Cruz season, and looking forward to the next few days leading up to Christmas. But as always, Lake Geneva is a bustling place. It's busy all the time.
You know, we spent, I think it was 2016, my parents renewed their vows on their 50th wedding anniversary, and we stayed at, I think, the Grand Geneva or something like that. It was the whole family. It was so much fun. And I went there as a kid, and I forgot how beautiful it was. Being back there as an adult, it was just such a beautiful, picturesque place. Are you a native?
I am, actually. I grew up and raised in Lake Geneva, went to school and high school there and everything. I live just a few miles away now in Burlington, but obviously I spend a lot of time in Lake Geneva for my job.
Has it grown, like, in terms of population? I know you get a lot of vacationers there, but, like, year-round, has the city itself expanded by a lot?
I wouldn't say by a lot, but, you know, they always used to say that, you know, the population triples in the summer. A lot of those are just visitors, of course. But I think this town itself has grown a bit. You know, there's certainly some new subdivisions around and that type of thing. But it's still kind of a, you know, for those of us who grew up there, it's still a small town, except when it gets on those busy weekends, then it's a whole different place.
All right. So tell us a little bit about this this great Santa Cruz.
So the Santa Cruz kind of came from an idea that the owner of our company had when he visited Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, where they have a boat company there that does, I don't think they call it the Santa Cruz, it's a Christmas cruise or something along those lines, but it's very similar to what we ended up doing, but ours has developed in a little bit different direction, and that is also part of a fundraiser. So it started in 2017, and I have to say, at the beginning, it was a little bit of a struggle because we just did it without a lot of thought, without a lot of planning. And since that time, it has really developed into something that really kind of runs like a well-oiled machine, obviously. Nice. We have people in every division of our company that help work, whether it's parking or safety crew being on the pier or whatever it happens to be. So when this idea came about, it has developed to something even better now. So because of what we do is the boat, we do leave from Williams Bay, as I mentioned before. So even though our company is primarily located in the city of Lake Geneva, this particular event takes place from Williams Bay, again, just a few miles from Lake Geneva. So what they do is we get people on the shoreline to allow us to put up some big lighted displays. Many people will say, why aren't the houses decorated? And, you know, if you've been to Lake Geneva, you probably know many, many of the homes are summer residences.
Yeah.
Even the big mansions and estates aren't always occupied year round. So what we do is put up about 30 different lighted displays along the shoreline and kind of tell a narration of sort of a fanciful story that goes along with what they're seeing and play Christmas music and that type of thing, all leading up to where Santa has his winter hideaway before he gets ready to go out and deliver his gifts. He's kind of, we tell the story that he's sort of escaping the toy factory and he's taking a rest at his little hideaway on Lake Geneva. So partway through the trip, the boat slows down and stops in front of Santa's hideaway, and he comes out and his voice can be heard on the boat. He reads the names of all the good kids, all the nice kids on the boat. So it's very, very cool to see, you know, the anticipation of the kids wondering if they're going to be on the nice list or not, you know, and they all get boarding passes, kind of lanyards that they wear. And if they're on the nice list, they get punched. You know, they have a punch of nice or naughty. We do all nice. We don't do any naughty. We do all nice. You know, so that's from what everybody always says is the part they love the most is when the kids see Santa and then hear their name. It's, you know, it's a really, really neat experience. It's something that they always remember.
What a great experience, I'm sure. That sounds like so much fun. I was looking at your website, too, and it just looks so beautiful, like the way you have it lit up. I am curious. It says the boat deck is heated, but how cold does it get out on the water? I'm sure people, I would assume, have to bundle up.
Yeah, you know, we have big heaters on both decks, and the areas where they're seated are all enclosed. So definitely you need a jacket, but I don't, it's not cold at all. I mean, it's probably not like being inside a building per se, you know, in a heated house or something, but it's comfortable.
My guest is Ellen Burling. She is the general manager of Lake Geneva Cruise Lines. They offer this outstanding Santa Cruz. This sounds exciting too. You've got beverages for children and adults, which is important for everybody. Buddy there at Santa's bar, which looks fun, and then you've got a raffle that gives you a chance to win amazing prizes. What can people win?
Right. The thing that makes us different from the other Santa Cruz that I mentioned, where the idea came from, is that we do have a charity aspect of this event, and we work with an organization called the 531 Fund, which is 531 for Walworth County. That's our zip code prefix, and it's six local charities, and they set up a booth, each of them, their own booth, decorate a Christmas tree, and fill it with all the different decorations and prizes they can win. So, you know, there's boats, there's trips, there's gift bags, all different, you know, really cool things that they can win. And the 531 Fund, all staffed by volunteers, staffs it every night and sells the raffle tickets. So as you're waiting to board the boat, you walk through and look at the different booths that the charities have set up and enter your raffle tickets for the drawing that they do in the beginning of January. And since we started this event, it has given over $1 million to local charities. So it's a big, big accomplishment we're very proud of.
Well, yeah. Ellen, keep up the great work. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. Have a great season. And let's definitely talk again.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. All right. That's Ellen Burling. Check out Lake Geneva Boat Cruises. Cruise Lines. Lake Geneva Cruise Lines. So much fun. Back. We are halfway through our last live show of the week, folks. We will be off Wednesday. You're off too, Con, right?
I am.
Yeah. You're not just going to be here like doing stuff.
I'll just be looking at your seat. Just
no
like...
show. I really miss Pete. So, all right. This is exciting. We've got in hour number three, Steve Marchtorme will be here. Steve is a band leader. He's got a 13-piece outfit called Steam. They travel all over the place. He is a very accomplished musician, regardless of genre, and he is the son of Mel Torme. That'll be fun, too. And Steve is going to perform here in the studio, which will be fun. It's kind of a bookended music show. But right now, to just kind of change things up a little, it's my pleasure to welcome back to Nightlight one of my good friends. He is one of the programmers at UW Cinematheque. And for the Wisconsin Film Festival, and he drops by here to talk movies and TV from time to time, and we love it when he does, Mr. Ben Reiser. Hey, Ben.
Hey, Pete.
How are you feeling?
How are you doing? I feel like crap, but I'm here for you.
I appreciate it. And you feel like crap. You're not even in your own stomping grounds. Are you still in New York?
No, I'm back home.
Oh, you're back home. Okay, that's good. Madison's a good Christmas town, or holiday town, I should say. Do you celebrate Christmas or Hanukkah, or both?
I celebrate both. I was in New York celebrating Hanukkah. Now I'm back in Madison getting ready to celebrate Christmas. I just came back from Jim Healy's house where we're having a holiday dinner with our families.
Lovely.
But I said, you know what? You guys have some dessert without me. I got to go talk to Peach Schwab.
You were looking for an out, and you knew it. And I provided said out.
Well, you said it, not me.
That's a lovely evening, I'm sure, with the Healy's. Love Jim Healy. Yeah. And best to your family as well. Your wife is from Stevens Point, correct?
You are absolutely right.
Yeah, that's where my daughter goes to school. So I had that conversation with your wife. And you have a wonderful family, Ben. And
Is your whole family home for the holidays?
Yes. As of a couple days ago, they are now. So it's just, I mean, you just can't, it's weird when they're gone. Mm-hmm. And then you start to fall in love with the quiet. But then when they get back, there's like a day or two of adjustment because we're all emotional, crazy people. And then we just love it. It's like old times. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's great stuff.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
And my kids, the holidays are the only time of year where my kids will sometimes let me show them a movie or two. So that's exciting for me.
We watched the last couple nights. Joe, my son Joe, who you know, got to pick the movie Sunday night. He wanted to go down memory lane, so we watched The Polar Express.
And then
we watched, my daughter Kate picked The Santa Claus last night, which my two good friends wrote. So I hadn't seen that in like 25 years, so we watched that.
Now, my question to you is, who's got the deader eyes, the CGI, motion capture people in Polar Express or Tim Allen in Santa Claus?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I will say the Polar Express, I hadn't seen that in ages. And the first half of that movie is a snooze. Yeah, the CGI is bad, but just that train. It's like I was telling Conrad, it's like 15 minutes of filler where the ticket flies out the window. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, what am I watching here? And it's okay when they get to the North Pole, but yeah, and if you can stomach Tim Allen, he's not terrible in the movie, but he's just Tim Allen. He's not going to give you that extra level, you know.
I was just reading an article with a bunch of quotes. All the roles that Chevy Chase either turned down or tried to get but didn't get, and he turned down the Santa Claus. So if not for Chevy Chase turning down the Santa Claus, we may never have had Tim Allen on the, you know, in such a huge national movie star spotlight. I think Chevy Chase also turned down Toy Story.
So what? As Woody? No, not as Woody, probably, but you got a poltergeist happening there.
Look at that. Yeah. One of my ceiling lights just sort of like collapsed and is like swinging.
I think it's weird that Chevy Chase, like, he had just done, a few years before Christmas Vacation. And I remember hearing about this because Benvenuti Rednick, the writers, it was a big deal when they sold this and when it got made, because it made so much money, the studio had to pay them their net points, which almost never happens. But Tim Allen, luckily, it was his first movie and his salary wasn't too huge, so they couldn't hide the money anywhere and they had to pay everybody, which I think is kind of fun.
Yeah, that's great.
All right, so let's jump in. We've got, first of all, I want to ask you, I saw on one of your Facebook posts, Ben, I think, that you got to see One Battle After Another on 70mm. Is that true?
Not only that, 70mm IMAX, which apparently is different than 70mm, although even I don't really understand all these formats when they get up that high in the stratosphere. But yeah, 70mm IMAX, which I believe is the biggest gauge of actual film. And then also the biggest screen. This was at AMC Lincoln Square in Manhattan. And my daughter, we were sitting in the fourth row. I've been seeing One Battle After Another basically almost every other day for a couple of months.
I remember
now.
You saying that. Yeah.
This might have been my seventh time seeing One Battle After Another. I'm out of my mind. Okay. You know, and part of it is because it's in all these different formats. And so,
yeah.
But also, I'm trying to get other people to see it, and I literally have to drag them there. Like, my daughter doesn't want to go to the movies, and so I dragged her to see it. We were sitting in the fourth row, and it was as immersive as a movie can get. It was just great.
I am envious. I would love to see that on, I think where I live, it was there for 2 weeks on crappy, whatever it was, screen they had. But that's, I want to ask you, because I think I enjoyed that more than Sinners. I did. But in terms of a movie being kind of all-encompassing, it's hard to argue Sinners. Maybe you didn't like Sinners. I don't remember what your take was on it, but like, it's got everything: the music, the costumes, the period piece, the gimmick of Michael B. Jordan playing, you know, and really well directed. And it's got, I don't know, that's a tough one.
Well, we did have this conversation. I'm not a Sinners fan.
Okay.
I hear what you're saying. It does have a lot of stuff, but the stuff it has, I don't like that much. Like the music. I we talked about this. I feel like the soundtrack to Sinners should be this really great, authentic sort of blues score, but it's like this, it's some European dude who's like, you know, sort of faking the blues. But I would argue that One Battle After Another is a movie that also has everything. One Battle After Another is an action movie, but it's also a comedy. It's a kind of a heartwarming family drama in some ways. And it's got
satirical I agree with you. And I love it. I think it's my favorite movie of the year.
Yeah.
But I thought if Sinners ends up winning, I don't even know if it's between just those two. We'll see when the announcements come out. But like, I could see why Sinners would win, I guess, is what I'm saying. And I did enjoy Sinners, but not as much as the other one.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of people like Sinners. I guess I should watch Sinners again. I was psyched for Sinners. I don't know. Irish vampires.
I forgot about the Irish element. Forgot all about that. Hey, I want to ask you about Train Dreams. What were your thoughts on Train Dreams?
Well, Train Dreams, there's a movie that I really wish had come around and played theaters near
me. Agreed.
I would have loved to see it in a theater. I mean, I've got a big TV screen, but I still felt like this is a movie, again, I need to sit in the fourth row and like IMAX. It's really feels like it should be this immersive experience. And I watched Train Dreams twice. I liked it quite a bit, but I really was bummed out that I was watching it on Netflix.
And that's what we have to thank Netflix for, which is a big issue. But I agree with you. I thought, I liked it so much. I was like, if this got into the conversation for Best Picture, like I think it might, I'd be okay with that. It's just a very simple, beautiful story about just a random guy and the things you experience in life and feeling connected. I just thought it was excellent.
I really thought this year was a terrific year for movies. So I think the 10 movies that get announced for Best Picture, I'll be surprised if I don't really love 8 or 9 of them. So, it's a great year. Great year.
What else have you seen? My guest, by the way, is Ben Reiser. He is the one of the programmers at UW Cinematheque in Madison. If you haven't been there, folks, check it out. It's free. They show great movies, and they have great Q&As and all kinds of fun stuff. So what else have you seen, Ben, that you could recommend, like a gem from this year that maybe that we haven't seen?
Well, the other thing that I saw when I was in New York was the recently released Kill Bill, The Whole Bloody Affair. Yeah. Not a new movie, but, Quentin Tarantino's Kill Bill Parts 1 and 2 smushed together into one big 4.5-hour movie with an intermission. That was also in 70mm, and that was fantastic. So I saw those two movies on the biggest screens possible, and then the other two movies that I watched while I was going back and forth to New York were on the smallest screens possible. I watched a couple movies on the airplane going back and forth. I caught up with a movie that I had meant to see earlier this year called Relay.
Yeah.
With Riz Ahmed. Kind of a great 70s conspiracy thriller kind of movie that probably has at least one twist too many in the third act, but... up until then, I thought it was pretty good. Pretty good thriller.
I liked it, too. And I meant to look this up right before the show. Hell or High Water. It's the same director, right?
Yeah.
And he's got another film coming out called either Fuse or The Fuse about finding a bomb from World War II in downtown London that hasn't gone off yet. So
He's a good director.
Yeah.
David McKenzie. Yeah.
I can't wait to see Fuse either. But, yeah, I really liked Relay, and Riz Ahmed was great, and it's just I found myself, without doing a spoiler, the female lead is I'm very unprepared for this interview, I apologize.
Me too.
Lily James from Baby Driver, who's great,
right?
And but I kept thinking I kind of like how they drew that out, because I really till the end I thought, are they trying to get me to think it's her? Is it really her? And again, without saying what it is, I like the whole movie. It was great.
Yeah, great movie. And then I saw this very dark, edgy, I guess it's a rom-com? I don't know. Called OH, H-I.
In your text. Yeah, what's that
about? About a young couple that go away for a romantic weekend and... not to really spoil that movie, but the guy winds up chained to the bed for the whole weekend because the girl is sort of insecure and feels like maybe he doesn't want to remain her boyfriend.
Oh,
Man, is this a dark comedy. I think you would like it, Pete.
Okay.
As the Godfather of Green Bay, I feel like, this might be something that's up your alley. And I think both of those movies are on Netflix now. I saw them on the plane and I came home and I was like, where are these movies? And yes, I think they're both on Netflix, Relay and Oh Hi. I would recommend those. I loved so many movies this year. The most recent one that I saw was one that we premiered at Cinematheque a couple weeks ago, The Secret Agent, which is a Spanish language film starring the guy who was the lead in Narcos, which is a show that I never got to see.
Boyd Holbrook? Oh.
No, Walter Mora? Is that his name?
Huh.
I don't know. I'm trying to find it now. Secret agent, secret agent.
I think Rob Thomas wrote about that and gave it a good
review. Yes, he did. Yes, yeah, he did. Wagner Mora is the lead actor's name. And this director, writer-director, Kleber Mendoza-Filho, made a crazy, crazy movie maybe 5 years ago. I can't remember what it's called, but this one is terrific. Another terrific thriller. It's a good year for thrillers. I heard you've been catching up on some thrillers lately.
Yeah, let's do this. We're going to take a quick break. Ben Reiser will be here. We'll have Ben for a few more minutes after the break. We'll talk about some of the movies I saw, and it's right up his alley with the 1970s. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about all of that when we come back. And Pluribus, Ben, I can't let you leave without talking Pluribus. So we'll do all that after this very short break. Do not go anywhere, folks. Nightlight is coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
They got cars big as bars, they got rivers of gold, but the wind goes right through you, it's no place for the old. When you first took my hand on a cold Christmas Eve, you promised me Broadway was waiting for me.
Welcome back.
You're handsome. You were pretty queen of New York.
Great tune. Coming up, folks, in hour number three, Steve Marsh Torme will be here. He is going to sing a song that his father made famous, the Christmas song, a cappella. You ever sing anything a cappella, Con?
In my shower.
Okay. Let's keep it that way. we have a few more minutes with my current guest.
We've all got a great mental picture right now.
Ben Reiser is here. He's one of the programmers of the Wisconsin Film Festival and UW Cinematheque. And he joins us here periodically to talk movies, and we love it when he's here. Ben, first, let's get to Pluribus. Thoughts?
Well, I love it.
I love that you love it.
I keep seeing things on these social medias, people complaining about how boring it is. I don't feel that way at all, and I also feel... this is the same kind of pace and the same kind of dedication to sometimes spending half of an episode doing purely visual storytelling that Vince Gilligan did in his last few shows, too. I mean, if you ask me, the first season of Better Call Saul, which everyone thinks is, you know, a masterpiece, that show, that first season was incredibly slow moving. If you go back and watch that, nothing even happens in the first season of Better Call Saul. You know, it's just sort of putting all the pieces on the table, I suppose. But mostly I didn't think you could get a fresh take on Invasion of the Body Snatchers. That's kind of a sci-fi premise. And for me, this is a fresh take. Like, I'm constantly surprised about the twists and the directions that this show goes in. What about you?
I thought it was one of the coolest first episodes I've ever seen. I was salivating before the second one came out, and then I thought it got boring, and now I think it sucks. I feel like I kind of agree with you, like Better Call Saul. Like, I love the openings of Better Call Saul where he would take 5 minutes to set something up, whether it's making coffee and this and that. I feel like this whole episode is that teaser in the opening, and sometimes they give you a nugget leading into the next episode, which ultimately also does not pay off. And Better Call Saul had Bob Odenkirk, who's funny, and the writing was a little funnier. This can be funny. I really like Rhea Seehorn and the woman who also is one of the, like, pod people or whatever. But I don't know. I hope it closes. I'm sticking with it because it's Vince Gilligan. I don't think I would have if it was a different filmmaker, if that makes sense.
It's interesting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you're not alone.
Yeah.
You're absolutely not alone.
And neither
are
you.
For me, there were two series that I tried to get into recently that I bailed on really quickly. One of them was the All Her Fault with Sarah Snook from...
Succession. I still haven't seen that.
Succession. Yeah, which was really just seemed... most TV to me, most normal TV to me seems like padded and filled with like these filler episodes in a way that for me, for whatever reason, Pluribus doesn't feel that way. Or if at least it's padded and filler, it's its own strange kind of pad, not the typical. And then the other thing was that new Claire Danes and Matthew Rhys.
Oh, yeah. I've got that on my list.
Beast in Me.
Yeah.
Oofa, man. I used to love Claire Danes, and now she's just such a, she's just one big acting tick.
Yeah.
Know? She's just got these things that she that's a great does idea. No matter what she's doing. If she's, you know, saying hi to somebody or like somebody just died in her arms, it's the same performance.
So you don't like it. You don't like The Beast in Me.
No.
Okay. Because that's on my list to watch. I was kind of,
well, give
you know,
it a shot.
Well, we liked Homeland to a point. And then, but she just, I don't know what it is with her. Like, she's a really good actor, but at times, even when I think she's not trying to, she just kind of seems insane. Like, like she's at a point where I was with Al Pacino where I just stopped. He went from being one of the best actors ever. I can't even look at him now. Like,
right. Exactly.
And it started like with Heat. I'm like, what happened to this guy? Like, and I feel kind of the same way about Claire Danes.
Yeah. No, I'm glad to hear you say that about Heat, because that's a movie I don't understand what everyone loves about it, but especially Pacino's performance. I'm like, what the heck is going on?
It's just jarringly bad to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want to get into, we won't have time tonight, Ben, but you're a guy who can talk 70s movies all day long. And I did have a recent jaunt into the 70s streaming in my own living room. But I'm going to be in Madison soon. Let's do the 70s movies there.
Okay.
We have about two more minutes. Can you tell me, I love the, you're doing like a contest on Facebook. You put Clapton and Styx. What is going on there? What's that all about?
I was back at my childhood home last week in Brooklyn, at my mom's house, and she's got this basket on a coffee table that's filled with pins, with buttons that date all the way from the 50s. She's got like an I Like Ike pin.
Oh, wow.
And, but most of them are kind of rock and roll pins that my sisters and I would collect at various concerts, and at we used to go to the shopping mall. There was like a sort of, I guess they call it a head shop, right, where you can buy sort of like drug supplies, but then they also used to have like these cute rock and roll pins. Some of them are like album covers, and a lot of them are just collected from like radio stations who would stand outside of big concerts and hand out these pins. So they're almost all of them are so horrible looking and embarrassing. I thought, well, why don't I do like a process of elimination. What's the lamest pin I have in this pin basket? And so my first round was Clapton versus Styx. And then Clapton won by a landslide as lamest. And then I put him up against the Eagles, and we're still sort of debating that one. I think that's a little closer, apparently. Apparently, people hate the Eagles more than they hate Styx.
I don't know what that is. I do, too. I don't know. Did it start with the Big Lebowski when the cab driver hated the Eagles so much? Like, I don't think they're the greatest band ever, but they got some great songs. I don't understand the vitriol toward them. And I liked Randy Meisner had a couple of solo songs I remember listening to on Casey Kasem's Top 40. But
I think maybe it's that Don Henley is such a jerk in real life, and Glenn Frey wasn't much better. So I don't know. Maybe it's that. And hey, burn too many bridges.
This is always fun, buddy. Go back to the Heelys. Tell them all I said hello. And you can make it back for dessert. And we'll talk soon, Ben. Thanks
so
much.
Say hi to the family for me.
We'll do.
Happy
likewise.
Christmas, everybody. Happy Christmas.
Thank you, sir. Back at you. All right. That's Ben Reiser. And thank you for the shout out, the Godfather Green Bay shout out before our screening. All right. We're coming right back. Steve March Torme is here in hour three. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwab.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.